Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with Joanne Coates, yoga teacher and mentor. Joanne and I spoke about breath work, morning routines, how to get started with yoga, and more. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode on your social media. Thank you so, so much. And as always, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes for more details. Now, onto my conversation with Joanne. Joanne Coates, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm
It's
so
my
happy to meet
absolute
you.
pleasure. Yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you, to talk about all things movement, breath, mindset, yoga, and so on. Before we do, though, I would love to hear from you. What is the number one thing you're excited for our listeners to learn today?
And so I think the main takeaway would be to just listen to your body. And I know that sounds very vague at the beginning, but it's a nice umbrella to and a nice reminder to do exactly that. So I would say to listen to your body. It knows best.
I'll tell you, if I have learned one thing over the last, especially 6 years or so, it is to listen more, not just to my body, but also to my intuition. So tap in a
Yes.
little bit more. So I really like that takeaway, and I look forward to digging into it. And why don't you share with us what got you to where you are today, how you became a yoga teacher and interested in breath work, mindset work, and so on?
So I actually used to be a school teacher, secondary school, so 11 to 16, and in the UK. And then I moved to Dubai 8 years ago, as a school teacher, and that was 11 to 18. And at that time, I was not listening to my body at all. I was very caught up in the matrix, as we would call it, the career and just being busy and very conditioned. Obviously, school teaching's not 9 to 5, but we'll just call it 9 to 5 because it kind of comes under that umbrella. And skipping lunch, skipping breakfast, too many coffees, teas, convenience meals. I had anxiety through the roof, which wasn't supported by the job that I had, which was also very stress driven. And just keeping going, hitting burnout after burnout after burnout. My hormones were all out of control, and you name it, I had it. And then I started to listen. So there was a health scare in my family. It was actually my father. And at this time, I'd already started going to yoga just for myself. I had a slipped disc in my back, and I was like, right, I'm just going to go to yoga because it's going to make me stretch. And it kind of opened lots of doors spiritually, emotionally, mentally. I realized the benefits it was having to my body and having that mind-body connection. And I was kind of like, okay. So I learned more about it, decided to do my teacher training, first of all, just for myself, I think, as a lot of people do, just to deepen my knowledge and get better at yoga. And then we had COVID, and I just realized that the job that I was in wasn't serving me anymore. And when I started to realize that it was actually a mixture of the job and my mindset and well-being that was making me sick and anxious, and I struggled with putting weight on, so I was underweight, looked sick, all of the things. And I just took a risk, followed what my heart was telling me, and here I am. So it's been 3 years in September since I started as a yoga teacher, and then that's also blossomed into lots of different things just from my personal experiences. So yeah, here I am. No.
Wonderful. I love it how just listening to your intuition brought you to where you are today in a very fulfilled
Yeah.
place, at least it looks like. And if someone is listening to this and they're thinking, okay, yeah, that's awesome, listening to my body, listening to my intuition, but what are some like indicators or first steps people could take if they're just feeling like they're not happy where they're at, but they don't really, or maybe they have forgotten how to listen to their body?
I would say the first thing, so you will have the signs. So it may, everyone's different, so it might be headaches, not putting weight on, putting too much weight on, and you just don't feel yourself. I would say the first thing to do is just give yourself permission to slow down. And really work out what it is that's making you feel that way. If you can, it's very hard to initially put your finger on it, but just having that on, giving yourself time to have that understanding, because I know a lot of, it's easy for me to say now I'm on the other side and I have time now, but I know what it's like when you're busy and you're at work all day and you know something's not right, but you don't have that time to give yourself the self-love, the self-care, to just sit and maybe write it down, or I don't know, even go for a walk and just think about it. So the first thing I would say is just give yourself time to sit down and just ask yourself, right, what's going on? And the same as you would if your best friend was all over the place and, complaining all the time that she was putting weight on, her skin's a mess, her hormones are all over the place. What would you say to your best friend? You would say, you need to slow down and put a plan into place. And we don't really do that for ourselves. So I'd say that would be the first point, to just give yourself permission to just sit down with yourself and say, right, what's wrong? What can you actually do? And what can we start with? So yeah, that would be my first point, my first step.
I think that's so important because truly we are so caught up in this whole hamster wheel. Like I too was like brought up in a family where it was just do 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 do. If you had nothing to do, there was something wrong with you. Like as soon as I would just sit down on a couch, my mom would be like, "Oh, okay, Lisa, you can help me clean here. You can do this." Like unless you're falling into bed or onto the couch fully exhausted at the end of the day, you didn't do it right. And like breaking that belief has been a really hard work over the last few years, and just accepting that I don't need to be doing more. I just need to do the right things with the right intention at the right time. And I can, achieve a lot in a lot less time than many people think. But it is so hard to get out of that wheel. I think often what people compare it to is like, you're driving in a car and one of your tires bursts and you don't want to stop to put on a new tire, and they just keep going with three wheels or whatever because they feel like they don't have the time to stop. But if you put on a new tire, you'd go way faster. You go So
Yeah,
it is making
exactly.
that time.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly that. And I always use the analogy metaphor of a car. I don't know if it's your listeners, if they're in the UK, I don't know if it's the same in other countries, but we have to take our car for an MOT in the UK so you can get it on the road. I'm in Dubai at the moment and it's, what do they call it? You just have to register here. It's
Right.
basically the same thing. So it has to be roadworthy. It has to be safe to go on the roads, and you do your oil checks and you put water in, and we do all of these things for our vehicle, but again, we don't take that time for ourselves. Like even just a water check. Like for me, I used to have excruciating headaches, but I wasn't drinking water, and I was popping pills to get rid of the headaches. And then it was just something so simple that I wasn't drinking enough water, but I wasn't even checking in with myself to know, and to say, like, have I drank water today? I was drinking coffee and tea and rushing around. And as a school teacher, I actually didn't drink water because you can't go to the toilet. It's not easy to get to, and right, you have to time your drinks so that, if you've got three lessons in a row, you haven't got time to go to the toilet. So you don't tend to drink that much because you can't go to the toilet. You can't just leave your class on their own.
It sounds so
And even
simple, but
just,
yeah, it's like little issues or things like that, or not
yeah.
getting sleep, or just having a poor posture. So yeah, I like that, like the notion of checking in, creating awareness. It always needs to be where we start. So okay, if someone now is saying like that makes complete sense, Joanne, I'm going to do that, they gain clarity on like what they want. I had a look at your content, and something that you speak about is also creating a morning routine, or like how you start your
Yeah.
day is really important. So this person that we just talked about that now has clarity on what they want, and what would be some first action steps in regards to a morning routine that they could take?
So again, I think morning routines are an interesting point because we see so many online, and some of them are so ridiculous that a normal person,
They're
a
like
normal
5 hours
person would.
long.
Yeah, he's my morning routine, and that, it'd be lovely to be able to take an ice bath or dip your face in ice every morning, and but we have to be real, we don't all have that time. And for women and men, but mostly women, if you've got kids as well. I don't, but I can imagine how difficult it is. So first of all, just like what is your intention in the morning? What do you want to, sorry, what is your intention in the morning, and how do you want to feel for the rest of the day? So I think most people, one easy thing would just to be calm, have calm nervous systems for the rest of the day. So if you're starting your day and you're rushing around and you're eating toast, standing up, and while the kettle's on, or you're making your coffee, or you're taking that in the car and you're eating while you're driving, that is not going to be starting your day with a calm nervous system. You're already spiking everything that you could possibly spike because you're starting in a rush. So having a look at, right, how can you really slow that down? It might be that you might have to wake up 10 minutes earlier, but is that worth it to have a day where you're not rushing, that you can actually sit and eat your breakfast and have a drink without doing all of the other things all at the same time? It might be that you really want to have a meditation practice in the morning, but again, you don't have time. A meditation, and I think a lot of people get sort of, again, it's the might be what they see on social media, but they have this image of you have to sit down and it has to be, a big long 20 minutes. If you only have a minute to meditate, and this might even be that your minute is in the shower, where for 1 minute in your shower, you're just focusing on the water hitting your head. How does the water feel? And if you get any other thoughts coming into your head, you go back to the water. What's the temperature? You're not washing your hair, you're not doing anything. That can be your meditation, but you have to then make the promise to yourself that you're going to do that every morning. And I have written on my mirror in the bathroom, I am enough. So when I'm brushing my teeth, I just read that over and over again. Because on the mornings where I don't have time to do all of the things, that will be my meditation. I'm brushing my teeth and I'm just repeating, I am enough, I am enough, I am enough. Or I might just be looking at myself in the mirror and I'm just thinking, I am enough. So then you have your affirmation practice, and it's just so simple. But just deciding, how do you want to feel for the rest of the day? And then you start your morning in that way. So that would be the first. And then look at the things that you can fit in and what you would like to do. Because again, everyone has their own, we all need different things. So we see these ones online, and it's journaling, meditating. There's a big, huge list where you might only need one or two of those things. So really pinpointing what is going to help you and to get your intention for the rest of the day.
I love that. I think just what I hear you say is like starting your day intentionally and from a place
Yeah.
of action, or like setting yourself up for action, as opposed to just reacting. Like, because with when we open up our phones and we're just answering messages,
Yes.
just scrolling through, our nervous system responds to what we read on the news or whatever. That is just reacting to the kids running around and
Yeah.
screaming, as opposed to intentionally setting your day up for how you want to feel on that day, deciding how you're going to feel. This is going to be a positive day. I'm going to feel good no matter what comes in, because I can't control what's happening around me. I can, however, control how I want to feel. So I really, really like that. And I like that you say it needs to be what suits you. If you have 2 hours in the morning, cool, that's awesome. If you only have 15 minutes, you can also make that your self-care practice. And what I have found as a nutrition coach over the years is that everyone has different times of the day where they're going to be functioning optimally. Like, I have or used to believe that I love working out in the afternoon, and then somehow, for scheduling reasons, I switched that to midday, and now I love working out in the morning. And there are other clients that say the only time they like working out is in the morning, and others that love working out at 7 p.m. And so, like, giving yourself the freedom to do that. But I think that there are underlying like principles that everybody should do, like try to get some fresh air at some point over the day, try to get some movement some point over the course of drinking your water at some point of the day. I think as long as we have like that big picture, that's really the main thing.
And I think bringing intention into all of those things, if you get into a habit of thinking you're wise, so even the food that you're eating, like people, oh, I should be eating this, and like take the should out of it, and I get to, and what is your why? So looking at your plate, and if you're in nutrition, you'll know, yeah, so this is going to give me, XYZ. Have a little bit of understanding of why are you putting chia seeds in your porridge? Like, oh, I'm doing this omega-3s, it's going to help me to balance my hormones. The intention is to feel good. And once we start to, again, it doesn't have to be a big journal exercise. It's just, right, I'm doing this because it's going to make me feel this way. And it takes off the should. The same for working out. Like, oh, I should go to the gym. Like, first of all, you get to, like, how amazing you get to work out, and how is that going to make you feel? What's your intention there? And if people tell me, oh, to lose weight, and I always say, but why? Why do you want to lose weight? Because if you take it into then an intention of you want to live for a long time, you want to be. So my intention is always for working out and moving my body. Because I've had people say to me, like, oh, why do you go to the gym? You're slim. Like, well, there's more to it. There's more to it than that. Like, my intention is that I want to be 80, 90 years old, hopefully, being able to tie my own shoelaces, walk up the stairs, get myself dressed, go for walks, do as much as I can that my body will allow. And that's only going to happen if I look after my body now. And some days, if I am like, oh, I will have days where I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered, I need to rest. And I'll really tune in. I'm like, yeah, this is a rest. I need to rest. And then other days when you know the difference between when you're just being lazy and when your body is actually telling you to slow down. And I'll remind myself, and even sometimes when I'm in, if I go to a gym class and I'm like, oh God, why am I here? I'll remind myself, right, come on, the 90-year-old you will thank you for doing
Oh, I
this.
love
And that's
that.
my intention. So my old lady self, I'm like, yes, come on, I'm doing it for her. Like, and I want to look back and go, yeah, I can run up the stairs. I'm 95 years old and watch me go, and thinking about it that way. And rather than like, oh, I've got to go to the gym because I had a piece of cake yesterday, because then it does turn it. There's no intention behind that. It's a punishment. So why do you want to punish yourself? So really turning these things into, oh, I should, or I've got to like, wow, I get to do this. And this is the reason why I'm doing it. How amazing is that?
What you said there is so important, that first of all, that difference between I'm just not feeling motivated and truly like I'm tuning in because my body needs rest. And I think a lot of people have a hard time telling the difference. So they're like forcing themselves to do something all the time, or they're like, oh, I didn't feel like it, so I didn't do it. So like either one camp or the other, but truly just, you have a routine, you normally do that. But on the odd day where you're not feeling it, like actually listen to where that is coming from. And you actually gave a practical strategy and how to dissect one from the other, and like thinking about how would I feel about this tomorrow? So if one
Yeah.
day you're like, you feel like eating a burger, and in that moment you're like, oh, should I, shouldn't I? I'm kind of like, my body's telling me I should. Is it really? Should I really? But if you think about, am I going to regret that tomorrow, or is it going to be so worth it because this burger looks so juicy? I'm loving the setting here with my boyfriend on my date, and it's just a wonderful atmosphere, and it smells so good. I'm gonna have this, and I'm gonna enjoy it guilt-free.
Yeah.
I think that's a really, really great mindset to have, and thinking to apply to many things in life. Like, how
Yeah.
would my 90-year-old self feel about this? So,
Yeah.
reminder. And one thing that I
Yeah.
saw on your content was kind of like the whole notion of life is not meant to be fully balanced. So often we hear
Yeah.
this whole thing about like work-life balance, and going back to the point of people having 5-hour morning routines and whatever. Oh, explain to us why you believe or say that life is not meant to be balanced truly.
Because I think when we try and give ourselves that, oh, life is meant to be balanced, we're then forcing structure and routine. And again, it becomes the I should rather than I get to. So when we forget about like everything has to be balanced, because it can't always be. Some weeks we just might not have time to do things that put us into balance. And then other weeks we can do that more. So for example, going to the gym or eating, things happen, life happens, you go on holiday. Like, how can you keep a balance in your diet when you're having an amazing time on holiday and you might have a few alcoholic drinks that you don't usually do? And then putting that structure on yourself is just making it then something that you're not going to enjoy. And again, are you going to look back when you're 90 and think, oh, I'm so glad that I didn't sit on the beach and have those cocktails and watch the sunset? It's not going to be a memory. It's not going to be a memory that you have. Instead, the memory is going to be the beautiful cocktails that you had on the beach and how amazing the sunset was. You know, it's something that you don't do all of the time. So throwing the balance out of the window, and rather the routine, and turning it more into rituals. And I get to do this, and this is so amazing. And having that intention behind it, because yeah, balance. I don't know. I think it's we all like work-life balance. If we're realistic about it, it's difficult to find balance. And then we feel guilty because we don't have that balance all of the time, you know. And some days you might not be able to get to the gym, and then you feel guilty. And if you take that structure away and just allow yourself to really, I get it, it sounds cliche, but literally go with the flow. And when you give yourself that permission, I'm guessing you do find balance in a way, but it's without labeling it balance.
Well, it's more of a fluid
It's,
balance from what I hear, because
yeah.
I truly think like it allows for more flexibility and for more openness and taking opportunities more as they come. And I think often we're so like caught in our like rigid thing. I too am like more of a, naturally speaking, more of a type A person. I like to have my plan, I like to have my structure, but
Yeah.
what I have truly found is that the more spontaneous outings, or whenever I did break out of that and said yes to spontaneous invite, it was always like that was so amazing and created actually one of the best memories, as opposed to just saying no because I had the next thing on my schedule. And what I often think when we hear life balances, also that we need to acknowledge different phases in life. So like, let's just say maybe in your 20s, it's absolutely fine to work a lot, to really focus on like what you want, learning about yourself more. And maybe in your 30s, some people choose to have families, so it's okay to work less and to focus more on their family. And I always just think we have this bucket full of energy and time, and how we distribute the various contents of it depends on what phase in life we're in and how we want to spend
Yeah.
it. And it's totally fine to do that in whatever way we want.
Yeah. And of course, and as women as well, like we are not balanced. We have our cycles, which are completely not balanced. It's a completely squiggly up and down line throughout the month that, you know, when we're trying to balance and we're not biologically balanced, you know, ideally we want our hormones to be nice and balanced, but you can wake up tomorrow and you hit your luteal phase and you're like, oh, gosh, I need to do, you know, it's, and then you're trying to force yourself into the your follicular phase box or whatever, and you just, it's, we're not balanced. And it's about giving yourself that, again, permission. So even last night, I always, my body, like clockwork, when I get to my ovulation, I call it my ovulate, I just get so tired. And it was like 8 p.m. last night, and it was early bedtime, and it just hit me. And I was like, I must be around. And it's, I check the app, I'm like, it's bang on day 14. Like, and so I said to my partner, I was like, I'm gonna have to go to bed. And I fell asleep really quickly. Whereas me previously would be, oh, it's 8 o'clock, it's too early. And I would, you know, be trying to, oh, maybe I'd still be scrolling social media, or you know, trying to get some work in, or thinking, you know, just not giving myself to permission to go to bed at 8 o'clock. And again, I know not everyone can do that, but could you go for a walk, or could you excuse yourself from your family and giving yourself that time? Because, you know, and I'm fine today. I needed that nap, and I really just listened because it hit me. But understanding again, like, it's my ovulation tiredness. Like, it hits me like a ton of bricks. But yeah, that's not balance. And today I'm not balanced with, you know, it's completely different every single day as a woman
And it's
sometimes,
so
you know, but
great, so
every
great.
3 days or so.
Yeah, absolutely great. And I mean, accepting your body for the fluctuations it goes through, it also allows you to like anticipate things more. You were like, oh, I have observed my cycle for so and so many years. I know that when this day hits, I'm usually more tired. And likewise, people know that they have higher cravings at this time and more energy at another time. And just working with your strengths as opposed to fighting that, I think is really, really helpful. And so yeah, let's
Yeah.
talk a little bit more about like the movement piece since you m mentioned walking and so on. Also, I'd love to hear for people that are listening, like if they want to start with a yoga practice or so, and maybe you can tell us a little bit like how to get started or the different styles or how to find out what style might be right for you.
Yeah. So if you're brand new to yoga, I would always say if you can find a gentle class to go to first, because it just gives you permission then to learn. I know with other exercise classes, you can kind of just throw, they don't kind of have the same structure. You know, you don't ever have like a beginner's hit. It's just you get straight in there and you're running like everyone else. So if you can give yourself that permission to just try, or maybe do 10 minutes from YouTube, because whenever someone brand new comes to my class as well, I tend to just let them be for the first, because they've got the weird names of poses, and you know, at times you're upside down and you can't see what the teacher's doing, or the teacher's walking around, and it's like, whoa, what is going on? And my wrists hurt. And, you know, so just starting slowly, even in your own home, just so you can get the feel for it. And of course, a lot of people who might see yoga, but then like, oh, I'm not flexible. Well, that's a perfect reason to go. You know, do any of us start swimming and we know how to swim? We have to, you have to, you know, any other sport, and like, oh, I'm not flexible, so I'm not going to do it again. But giving yourself permission and a nice reminder that your body is able to do these things, you know, you will be able to touch your toes or get a little bit, a millimeter is progress in yoga. So yeah, if you're interested or you'd like to start, just give yourself permission to start at the bottom. Go to a gentle class. Do some online, and then once you feel a little bit more confident, go to. So generally in yoga studios, they will have like level one, level two, or beginner, intermediate. It depends on the yoga studio. And then once you start growing in confidence, put yourself in, you know, another class. Challenge yourself a little bit more. And I think that's the real beauty of yoga as well. I think that's why I fell in love with it so much, because even I've been doing it now and te teaching. For 3 years and doing yoga, maybe 6 or 7 years. And there's kind of like an unwritten kind of acceptance with everyone that there's no end point. Like, there's no expertise, because there's always some other way that you can push yourself. So, you know, I have people coming to me and they're like, oh, you look so graceful, you're so flexible. And then I'll go to another class and I look at a teacher and I'm like, oh my God, I wish I could do that. And it's just like an unwritten appreciation of, you know, it's an ongoing journey for everybody. There's no end goal. Where I know with a lot of other movement activities, you know, there is an end goal. There's your personal best and you know, you've got this thing to aim for. But the beauty of yoga is there is no end point, and you can take as long as you like to work through it. So if anyone is also thinking like, oh gosh, it looks scary, like don't be scared by what you see on Instagram. Everyone just posts their best poses on Instagram anyway, so they don't post like falling on your chin and you know losing your balance and wobbling all over the place. We only post our best things. Behind the scenes, we're all over the place as well.
I think what I often have heard in yoga classes is just the reminder of like it's just you and your mat. And I think that's really like what we can apply and should apply to everything in life, like really our own quote unquote competition, our ourselves or our yesterday self perhaps, and even that should be erased. And it's just like you and how you are today. And I think just focusing on that can really help you also not looking sideways if you're new and like, oh no, they're all doing this, I'm not. That's another great thing about yoga. There's always progressions and regressions. Like if you can't do this and that pose yet, then there's an easier version of this.
Always an option. Yeah,
Absolutely.
always another option. Like you just have a little look up and the teacher comes over and gives you another option. It's fine. And no one else is looking either. And that's always a nice reminder. So I say it a lot while I'm teaching, like leave your ego at the door. And because we walk around in life and, none of us would like to admit it, but we've all got an ego. We all walk around and we have this ego that sometimes needs a hug, and we need to let our ego know that everything's okay. But in yoga, it's really leave your ego at the door, and no one's watching. Everyone's focusing on what they are doing, like you said, on their own mat. And So when I first started yoga, I was very stuck in my ego, and I'd be like trying to do all of these poses that I wasn't ready for yet. And, arm balance, hands, I was obsessed with getting the perfect handstand because it was my ego, like, well, they're doing it, so I'm going to do it. But my shoulders weren't strong enough, and I wasn't hot, strong enough to hold myself yet. And then once I actually realized that, you know what, I'm just going to let that go. And I stopped. So at the end of the class, everyone would be like, oh, talking about what they were able to do, and blah, blah. And I would walk out, be like, right, I'm going, bye, thanks. And I would just go, because I'm like, right, I'm not going to do the comparison thing. I'm really going to just work on letting this go. My body will do it when it's ready. And once you do let go of that, and then away from the mat in the outside world, it's always a nice little reminder for anything that it's going to happen when it's ready. The same as your body will open when it's ready. And no one else is watching. We're all winging it in a way. But we're so obsessed with how, not how we look physically, but how we come across, and what are people going to think about me, and people going to judge me. But when we really sit down, when no one's watching, like when, if you think about yourself as well, how many people are you watching thinking, oh, she's not doing that, and she's doing, no one's watching anytime. Like, and it's a real nice reminder that no one's watching on the mat, no one's watching in life. Like, you do you. You follow what your body, your intuition is telling you. You do you, boo, that's all I say.
I think they call it the spotlight effect, where we all think like, oh, this is all about me my
Yeah.
entire life. But yeah, I also
Yes.
really like that encouragement to just try a couple of different classes, even if it's just a small inside and online first. Because I mean, I can personally say, like, if I would have had or taken a Kundalini yoga class as my very first yoga class, I probably would have been scared off, because it's like
Yeah.
too, for me, it would have been at that time like too woohoo and too
Yeah.
emotionally focused, and I wanted the movement. So for me, starting off something like Hatha yoga or Ashtanga
Yeah.
yoga or something was a
Vinyasa.
lot more more suitable for my type A personality, with a structure and you move with the breath
Yeah.
and it's faster paced, and I wasn't so quote unquote bored, which I was afraid of, obviously, like learning to
Yeah.
lean more into that. But I think that that's a really good point, like just trying different things and not writing it off so quickly if you don't enjoy your
Yeah.
first class.
Yeah, and because there are so many different types, and yeah, I think if it was your first time and you went to Bikram, which is, oh gosh, 50 degrees, I don't know what the exact, but that could also put you, it's 90 minutes and it's very strict and you can't drink water, and that for your first yoga class, you would never go back.
No,
So,
absolutely.
it's, yeah, so having a look at, like, when, again, think about your intention behind it. Why are you going to yoga? So, is it just because you think you should, because your friends are, or is it because that? So for me, it was, I was suffering with lower back pain. I had two slipped discs. I wanted to stop being in pain. Is it that you're noticing as you get older that you're not as mobile? Like, are you, things just suddenly happen, or are you getting pains in your joints? And do you want to stay as flexible as and mobile as possible? And again, does your nine do you want to be a 19-year-old lady that can put her own bra on? Or, so is that your reason? So having your why, your intention, why do you want to do it? And then finding the perfect one. Is it mental health? Do you just need time where you can sit, you can breathe, and you want to close your eyes? Maybe you just go to yin yoga, because it's, you're not moving around and you're giving yourself that little bit of meditation. At the same time, you're stretching and you're getting into your body. So again, the intention behind it, because again, another, obviously I'm biased for yoga, but it is a mind, body, soul, breath practice. So for any of those reasons, and then you pick, and most people find that once you get the itch, once you've been bitten, then you grow. You're there, you're in. But what's your intention? Ask yourself, why do I want to go? Why am I doing this?
Yeah, having a strong why is so powerful for anything in life. I truly, truly love it. And I think we've given a lot of like tools on how to listen more to your body, tap more into your body. But the last thing I do want to touch on a bit more is breath. And you mentioned that is part of the yoga of the yoga practice. But for people that are maybe not doing yoga, how can they incorporate a little bit of quote unquote breath work into their daily lives, not in an elaborate Wim Hof sort of way, but just in a practical type of way?
So I think that's the thing as well. So with breath work, there is sort of everyone imagines, again, you see it on Instagram, the people are crying, they're screaming, their chests are going up and down, it looks like they're having convulsions. That doesn't have to be the breath work. That's not the breath work that I teach either. So I really use the yoga, the pranayama practice, which is so many simple ones that you can do. You can do it when you're sat in traffic. I'm always, when I'm in traffic, coming into my box breathing. So you inhale for however long. I tend to do six. If you're new to it, you can inhale for four. You hold your breath for four. You exhale for four. You hold your breath. So it's just the box. And this just really helps you. So every exhale, we're connecting to our parasympathetic nervous system. So this is your rest and digest. This is where ideally we want to be most of the time. In this modern world, because of the way that we breathe, so we're check a lot of us, most of us, before, if you start breath work, we're just breathing through the chest. So everyone's heard of fight or flight. So we're putting our body then into flight or flight, even if it's just short, sharp breaths through the day, and you don't even realize that you're doing it. But this can be affected by an email from your boss. Can you come and see me? You're stuck in traffic. You're late. You're rushing around. So your breath, without being out of breath, you're putting yourself in fight or flight. Then, of course, cortisol spikes, insulin, blah, all the hormones. So by really teaching yourself and understanding how the breath works, and it's an ancient practice, it's a medicine that we have within us. This is why, again, I haven't got children, but breath is a big thing when you're giving birth. So if any of the listeners, I'm guessing lots of them will be mothers, and they will know that they were told to breathe, and there's a reason for that. And you will know when you were doing it that it was helping, the pain. So having that understanding around your breath, giving yourself time to breathe. Like, when was the last time you just sat down and just noticed your breath? And as soon as we notice the breath, as soon as you sit down and just, right, I'm inhaling, close your eyes, notice your inhale, what's happening? Chest is rising, is your belly rising, are your shoulders moving? What happens when you exhale? And as soon as you start to notice that, it's like a volume switch for everything else. You can't focus on your breath and focus on your to-do list, your emails, packing for your holiday, speaking to your boss, whatever it is, you're turning the volume down because you can only focus on the breath. And then that's a perfect place to start. Just noticing, just observe your breath. If you're at work and you're stressed, and I tell people all the time, just go and sit on the toilet where no one is going to come and get you. You don't have to go to the toilet. Just sit on the toilet and notice your breath. Maybe take 10 slow, deep breaths. It's going to calm you down. It's going to connect to your parasympathetic nervous system. And we tend to naturally do this anyway. Like, well, maybe sigh. Sometimes when you're calming yourself down. Dogs do it all of the time. So after dogs have been anxious and they're barking at the door, you might notice that then they sit down and they sigh. They're just calming. They're good at it. They don't sit and worry and think, oh my God, I just barked at the postman and now I'm so stressed and I hope I didn't upset him. And where's he going now? And what's he doing? They do the barking. They sit down. They sigh it off. They release it. And then, they fall asleep. They're fine. So be more dog. And it's just starting off just small. I don't know if you can hear my dog crying at the door. She knows I'm talking about her. But yeah, short box breathing's perfect, or just noticing the breath, because, like I say, it's that volume switch and it's your inner medicine. Like, a lot of things, if we could go to the doctor, and the doctor, when we're stressed or anxious, if I w went to the doctor 5 years ago when I was height of my anxiety, living with anxiety every single day, and he just told me to sit down and breathe, it would have saved me a lot of time, a lot of, money doing therapy. And just to notice your breath, just, are you breathing properly? Are you taking time to just breathe? and it's so simple, but it's doesn't always happen that way. So giving yourself permission to just slow down the breath, and then once you have that, you can then have a look into other types of breath work. And if you start yoga, you'll find that they will include breath work in the yoga practice, which again, you don't need to go to a class, you don't have to do the Wim Hof, it doesn't need to be something very dramatic. It's just a tool that you can go away, and when you're stressed out in traffic, just think inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth, inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth, and you've got that tool there all of the time.
That's amazing. That is honestly a wonderful practical takeaway. And I mean, such an amazing free tool that we all have to our disposal at any time, no matter like if people are watching or not. So truly, I hope the listeners take it and run with it and observe their breath more, their body more, just listening to their body more. Thank you so much, Joanne, for everything
You're
you've shared with
perfect.
us today. This
Thank
has been
you.
a truly interesting conversation, and I know it's going to bring a lot of value. So I will obviously make sure to link all your handles in the show notes so people can go and find you, can contact you, especially also if they are in the UAE, but of course also just enjoying your free content that you have online. So truly, thank you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Joanne. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner, Fat Muscle Project, has got you covered. Head over to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more. And feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.